Well, happy Monday to you. Welcome back to the DriveCast. I hope you're getting off to a great start to your week. My name is Dean. I'm the lead pastor here at LifePoint. I do the majority of teaching at our Lewis Center campus, and this past week in our playlist series, where we're looking at the reality that God writes the lyrics of our souls in the Psalms. It's a good reminder to all of us that these Psalms were originally songs, and one of the categories of songs in the book of Psalms is lament. And the Psalms, the great thing is they just help us express and understand the breadth of human emotion, the things going on in your heart, anger, love, joy, despair. And lament really is a particular condition of sadness of soul. It is a season or an experience really of spiritual dryness. And the songwriter, and one of the sons of Korah in Psalm 42 and 43, he is experiencing this season of dryness because of exile. He's out of Jerusalem. He writes how he longs for the land of Jordan and Mount Hermon, how he wants to return to the progression, the festive throng, how they would enter the progression in the temple with music and dancing. And he just kind of feels like a spiritual drought. One of the things that's interesting about this lament is that other psalms like 6 and 25, 32, Psalm 38, 51, 130, other psalms of lament include a time of confession. This psalm does not. So conviction really over sin is a reason, but just not the only reason for lament. And we just don't talk about this a lot in church. Generally speaking, churches in the West, we do a great job of talking about rules and behaviors and actions. And, you know, a lot of us, self included, we don't enjoy talking about our feelings. This in the Western church, we just don't do a great job doing that. But we have to understand that the Psalms help us make sense of our feelings, what's going on inside of us, because we have to be able to process those. And so there's really three things that come from the psalm writer, I think, that are going to help us. The first one is that we need community, and we talk about that. We talk about that a lot, but he highlights this fact that he is exiled from Jerusalem. And he's up in, I think it's Mount Mizar is the way you pronounce it. It's up near Mount Hermon, which is far northern Israel. It's about 112 miles away from Jerusalem. And he understands that he's community deprived, that the preferred model of spiritual maturity is always supplemented with godly friends. Always, always, always. And, you know, so sometimes it's not a sin of commission that you're committing a sin. Sometimes it's a sin of omission. You're not doing it. And everybody needs a tribe. Everybody, for him, I mean, we would liken it, I guess, to a conga line or something like that as they entered the temple. But there was this sense of joy about being together, being in God's presence, and we need that. So it's not just community, but we also need encouragement. He says down there in verse 3, you know, the voices in his head, he says, you know, while they say to me all the day long, where's your God? That's the question he keeps hearing. We need encouragement because of our enemies. There are seasons of accusation. Now, sometimes that accusation comes from our critics. Sometimes it comes internally. Sometimes it comes from our friends. You become a brand new Christian, and all of a sudden there are parts of what God is doing, God's work in the world, that leave you vulnerable because his ways are not always explainable. You know, why would God treat you like this? You know, health issues, or you start to live in generosity and, you know, your transmission fails or your refrigerator dies. And you're like, well, why would God treat you that way? And there are these seasons of accusation. That's what our spiritual forefathers, that's what they call them. Times when our enemy is hurling the fiery darts at our heart. And we need what the psalm writer says. We need light and truth. He says, send out your light. Send out your truth. Light and truth help us see. And then there, the other thing he brings up, he says, my tears have been my food day and night. He's not eating. And lament or sadness is emotional. It's spiritual. And it's even physical. And I'm not a doctor, so I don't want to say too much here. But in seasons of lament, there's a good chance you really do. You need to see that there's a physical side to it. Seeing your doctor is a great idea. Seeing a counselor is a great idea. Medication may be part of the solution. I don't think it's the ultimate solution, but it may be part of the solution. You need to move physically as much as your body allows. I think outside is good, probably better than inside, right? It's a good shot of vitamin D. Sleep is good. I mean, a matrix of those things. I would just encourage us as well, the balance of that is just don't fall for the fake, right? That these are the only important things. Like these are gonna solve, because there's definitely a deeper solve. And what this passage is probably the most known for, verses 5 and 6, where the psalm writer says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your trust in God." He says, "My soul is downcast within me, therefore I remember you." God allows seasons of dryness. God allows things that lead us to lament, right? To teach us to walk by faith. He feels like God is gone. He feels like every day is a grind. Everything is gray. Everything just feels like it's always cloudy. Again, our spiritual forefathers, they called it spiritual desertion. Martin Lloyd-Jones once said, when you go through one of these seasons, every morning you're going to get up and your heart is talking to you. You can either spend the day listening to your soul, or you can spend the day talking to your soul. It's up to you. And what Lloyd-Jones is saying there is that we have to preach the gospel to ourselves. You know, you're going to be seasons where you get up and say, this is awful. It's terrible. It's never going to get any better. And, you know, you're going to have to be able to preach a good gospel to your soul. Friends leave. You feel terrible. You're sad. You run into a financial crisis. And these seasons of dryness at times help us understand who our real Savior is. And you can lament in a way where you lament away from Jesus, or you can lament into Jesus. You can doubt in a way that you doubt away from Jesus, or you doubt into Jesus. And that's why the psalm writer says in that verse, "For I shall praise him again." He feels like God is gone, but he also says, this is a reason to pray more, not less. This is a reason to be more disciplined in my prayer life, not less disciplined. John Newton, the guy who wrote Amazing Grace, said, if you're getting nothing from the throne of grace, I can assure you, you will get nothing from staying away from the throne of grace. This is just a reflection of the Gospels when Jesus says to the disciples, are you all going to go away too? When some people walked away from him, Peter says, where else can we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. In other words, what's your alternative? What you hear the psalm writer say when he says, for I shall praise him again, I think he's saying, you know, I remember the promises. And the promises, I will never leave you or forsake you. The promises, I will, or surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's saying, well, how can I get there? We can get there because Jesus experienced the ultimate desert for us. You know, why are you so downcast? That's the idea of throwing something down, right? And we recognize that God the Father let Jesus down on the cross. He let him fall as proof that we would never be let down, right? Psalm 27:10 says, even though father or mother forsake me, in other words, even though my family, my friends will let me down, the Lord will lift me up. I loved where we landed the service as we sang one of my favorite songs, How Deep the Father's Love. There's a line in there that says, how great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away. His wounds, which mar the chosen one, bring many sons to glory. God let Jesus fall on the cross because that is what was bringing us to himself. Proof that he will never let us fall. Even when we can't feel his arms are there. We believe it, we faith it in the finished work of Christ. I'm going to pray for us, and then I'll let you pray. Father, we need you today. We need to have a sense that you're with us. Sometimes, God, when we can't feel it, I pray that you'll help us to believe it by faith. Now you take the opportunity to pray.